Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 447, Kobayashi Maru.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And I'm coming to you live from vacation, which is why my audio quality is not quite the same, and you might hear soothing ocean noises behind me. Well, that's just you.
You don't know that. Don't ruin the illusion for the people.
Okay, fair point. From we want to give them a wall of sound. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm taking my first vacation in 5 years, but that doesn't mean, you know, we stop watching
disco. Well,
we don't
stop. We've recorded in famine, in plague.
Yep.
After the deaths of beloved and less than beloved people.
Mm-hmm. And animals.
And animals.
Yep.
Because, damn it, this is what we do.
Yes.
Like, this is the boulder we happily roll up the hill.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't even that particularly egregious a boulder this time, I would say.
No. This is a perfectly cromulent boulder.
And, you know, I've said before, I know where this season's going. It's not so bad. I was reminded of some subplots that I'm not happy about. But
sure.
Big picture-wise, I do like this season.
No.
And this was a good start.
You know, all in all, I am pretty happy to be in season four now, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot
of
good stuff.
Put season three behind us. And
yes.
It's dumbassery, and get on with the show.
There was a previously undiscovered, like, you don't need to do this.
Yeah.
If I was coming in as a fresh writer on season four, I'd say, let's just skip the previously on this time. How about that?
We don't, you know what? The people don't need to know.
No.
Who's this? They'll figure it out. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. That's Mike. Everybody knows Mike.
It all happened last season, true believers. Don't worry about it.
But why don't you tell us what happens in Kobayashi Maru?
All right, so it's been 5 months, so let's play catch-up. Discovery has been getting dilithium to various planets throughout the galaxy and spreading the good news about our Lord and Savior, Michael Burnham. And things are going well. Book and Michael are flying diplomatic missions, Saru is helping to bring Kaminar into the Federation, and Starfleet Academy is opened again for the first time in 130 years. Starfleet Academy, eh? Thinks Tilly, considering her spin-off options. After a successful keynote, Michael meets the new space president, Rilik, who I think is half Cardassian or something, which, you know, good for her. Then Starfleet gets an emergency phone call from a crashing space station and heads off on a cool sci-fi rescue mission. President Rilik comes along because she wants to see how the sausage is made, and Michael is not well pleased because a president on board means somebody who can tell her what to do. Clearly, you have not met Michael Burnham, Madam President. Meanwhile, Book heads back to his home planet for his nephew's sap-draining ceremony. This involves Book bleeding and summoning the Dragon Zord. Back in space, Disco arrives to find a busted-ass space station barreling out of control. Michael sends Tilly and Nadira over to help, and they discover the gravity is borked, and they have to work on the ceiling. Lieutenant Edwin is also there to teach them to love to laugh. Repair work goes well, but someone needs to pilot an Avis light cycle bubble from Tron over to unscrew the roof, and Michael does that. Then the president points out that Michael's the captain and probably shouldn't be risking her life in an incredibly dangerous situation that could result in numerous losses of life, but again, it's Michael and you ain't my president, sir. The roof screw goes off with, well, actually several severe hitches, but everyone does get safely back to Discovery. Except from Edwin, who is crushed between two boulders while thinking about his family. How sad! Back on Disco, the president explains to Michael that she's been looking for a captain for the new Voyager that's going to be launched, but has taken Michael out of the running for being too reckless. That's fine, says Michael. I never wanted a captain Voyager anyway. That's an asshole ship. Back on the bridge, Book arrives home from his trip, and we discover that the entire planet has been René Picarded.
That reference isn't going away, is it?
No, never. I think it's extremely funny.
Okay. I did not feel bad about Edwin being killed because he pulled a gun on Tilly and Adira, and fuck that guy.
I get it. Just like, I have to save my crew. I can't let them die, and I'll shoot you to prove that point.
I don't want anyone to die, so I'll kill you. Well done.
Not
he really
the,
did
not...
have. He really did have the, we couldn't get Patton Oswalt, so let's find some other schlubby stand-up comic to be this guy.
He had real, Mal was watching some of this with me, and it turns out she has Discovery opinions. But she was watching this with me, and she's like, I recognize that guy. But it turned out, no, she didn't. None of us did. He just has a very generic face.
And voice.
He has, he appears in two episodes of What We Do in the Shadows that we haven't seen yet. So, like, it can't be that. Yes.
He sounds to me like someone who should be doing a voice on Lower Decks, and that's not a compliment or an insult, it's just an observation.
Yep.
Like, we have very strong opinions about that show, but this is just, no, this is the kind of guy they cast on there. Like, he's got a real stand-up comic voice, that's all. Yeah,
and if you'd like to hear those strong opinions, for one dollar a month.
Yes, our Patreon, patreon.com/Algar.
Yep. Anyway.
The shilling does not take a vacation.
No, nor should it.
Yeah, no. But yeah, we're in, like, I would say last season, for all its mistakes, one of the main mistakes was it, I didn't quite really have a handle on the future, whereas this is kind of your good thing. Like, we really feel like we're now in this proper setting, you know?
Yes. So we've kind of, it's been 5 months, and we've kind of moved, like, beyond the, wow, the future, to just like, yeah, it's the future, whatever, you know, I still gotta get up and go to work.
Yeah, get on with it.
Which is how I feel every day. I really like the design on everything. Like, we got the new uniforms, which I love, way better than last week's new uniforms.
Agree. And we get all the colors, which is what I always want. I want to see the captain and the, you know, everybody in bright primary colors.
I wanted to see a moment where they're like, these are the new uniforms, and Michael's like, when did red become command? I was like,
no, yeah, we've been doing this a while. We never have done that moment where someone from the original series era is like, wait a minute, the color's changed.
Yeah, what the hell is this?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I like the new away team uniforms. I think they're way better than the old flak jackets that they used to wear.
I didn't like the cop vests, but I also don't like the cool Section 31 leather jackets they're in now either.
I am also down for the leather jackets. Michael wears one in the opening scene, and I'm like, yes, more of this, please.
I don't care for that, but I do like the uniforms, so, you know.
We get a shot of the Federation space station, not the crashing one, which looks weirdly like a drone, but the new Federation station, which looks fucking cool as shit, like real sort of white, curvy alien design. I'm just like, I could stare at this all day.
Yeah, it's very good.
The shield around said station is made up of hexagons, which also, like, that's kick-ass. Like, all of this
always
just
love
looks
a hexagon.
Good. Yeah, man. Yep. Hexagons are great. This is the shape of the future.
When Endeavor, with the symbol I had Vishal design for it was a hexagon.
Yeah.
You know, they're great.
Yeah, that's how you know it's the future.
No,
we also get Michael's new spacesuit, which is very clearly pilfered from Mass Effect, but that's been an issue since the beginning of this series, so whatever.
I still, because I don't know Mass Effect, it just looks like science fiction to me. I feel like that video game did not invent every sci-fi aesthetic, but...
No, but it is absolutely the thing that I think about the most, like, oh, you got your Mass Effect thing going on.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't.
Video game Mass Effect.
Is it popular outside video game circles, though? I have no idea.
I have no idea if it's popular outside video game circles, because I am so deeply embedded in video game circles.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm a woman who thinks about video games a lot.
You don't say. And also Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, apparently.
That less so, but occasionally it pops up, and I'm just like, that looks like a Power Ranger.
I just was surprised to see that reference in your summary. Like, what the
fuck
are you talking
about
right now?
I'm not a Power Rangers gal, but my brother was, so... Well.
Ah, very well. I don't... Her spacesuit didn't really make an impression on me, but there was a sequence where she didn't quite have it on, and her pod was open to space for a minute. And what I think the point of that was so the effects guys could show off making Michael's cool braids floating around in weightlessness.
Yep, very proud of that little thing.
It was good. It was cool, and, you know... Like, she's got interesting hair for that kind of thing. But, you know, it was very clearly them showing off.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
the more interesting Michael's hair gets in this show. Like, I'm just, I'm so there for long-ass Michael hair.
Yes, and I would say a lot of the crew looks a little different. Like, their looks have changed, yes. Haircuts. And Adira reads a lot more NB to me than they did before. Like, they're sort of filing off some of the more femme-presenting aspects of them, which I like.
That definitely feels like a progression from them coming out, like, in season 3.
Yes.
So, well, now I'm more of this.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I know there are plenty of non-binary people who can still look very feminine. I'm not suggesting they all have to look androgynous by any means,
sure.
But I'm saying for introducing this concept to people in the audience who might not be familiar with it, this might be a good way to present that character, is all I'm saying. Like, it's
absolutely.
It's a good commercial for non-binary.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Adira for non-binary.
Yes, exactly. Ghost boyfriend is still a thing.
Uh-huh. Briefly.
Which I do not love, because he mentions one of the things that will be an ongoing plot in this season that I do not like, which is,
I'm going to get a body.
Yeah, when I'm corporeal, like, what? Uh-huh. When did this be? Is this a retcon or just something they thought of? Like,
I think they mentioned it, but we were so busy last year, you know?
That's true.
Like, I'm going to be a real boy. Okay.
Fine. Sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
You're gonna be a real twink.
Yeah.
And Tilly, something I noticed, and I noticed this because I'm a natural redhead, they have darkened her eyebrows.
Ah, I did not notice that. That's interesting.
I noticed that because I often have to if I want them to show up, because they're so light, and she had kind of the same thing. Like, it's very, because at first it's like, oh, her face is more pronounced. What's going on there? And I say, because, you know, because I've done this, it's like, oh, that's why. Okay. Mm. She looks a little more, I don't know, grown up. Her face has a little more definition to it.
It's good. I like that.
And Awoshkin had, like, different hair, and, like, everybody looks a little different. But also, you everyone's noticed? Been promoted.
Yeah. Starfleet really just like, all right, you know what? Let's just say that the 930 years it took to get here, you guys get promoted at least once.
Yeah, you, like, let's assume you lived that whole time. You're all super admirals now.
Mm-hmm. Tilly spent approximately 3 seconds as an ensign, and Harry Kim's head is just spinning around on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a lieutenant now. Awoshkin and Detmer are commanders. Possibly lieutenant commanders, because they address lieutenant commanders as commander also, but even still, they've definitely been promoted.
Yeah, Stamets is a commander too, and I can't remember what his old rank used to be.
He just, because he's a little older to me, that doesn't feel as weird, but everyone on the bridge to me still feels like kids.
Yeah.
It's weird calling someone under 30 commander, but I mean, that's a nitpick. It doesn't matter.
I mean, that's the show, you know? At this point, it's just like, whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And Adira is now officially part of the crew. They're an ensign.
Yes.
Whereas before, I think they were just sort of a consultant or something.
Yep, a professional consultant.
Well, like Book. Book's not part of the crew, but he's obviously part of the crew.
Mm. I kind of like that, just bringing in, like, consultants, like Book showing up. You will be a consultant on empathy, because you can talk to trees or whatever.
Well, it's also good because they can do some sort of outside the rules, the stuff. Like, there's a lot of things, if you're in Starfleet, you have to do Starfleet, you know, what's the rules. But, like, now it's like, well, Book isn't. And I really liked the prologue, the sort of the teaser before the credits, where we had kind of an unrelated mission. It felt very beginning of an Abrams movie to me.
It really did, you know, like...
Because it was just Book and Michael on a planet, like, dealing with some aliens and running away a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it.
There is something I like quite a bit about Star Trek running away from things.
Well, yeah, showing up and being...
Showing
up and being smug future men, and then, like, wait a minute, they don't actually want us here. Shit!
Oh, no, the butterfly people are really mad at us, actually.
So they're these super emo-looking glowing white guys.
Yep, I loved them.
The thing is, I think they are incredibly stupid, and if they were a staple race that we saw every week, I would hate them, but as a throwaway 10-minute sequence at the beginning of an episode, they were perfect.
They look like the dude from Prometheus, and then a bunch of butterflies fly down and form butterfly wings, and I'm like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen.
I hated it. It was so dumb. And they're also not butterflies, is what Mike kept saying, but then the problem on their planet was that the magnetic poles had shifted, and that's, at least right now, that's what science thinks how butterflies work. Like, that's how they navigate, with the poles. So it's like, well, then yes, they're just butterflies.
Yeah. No, the problem on their planet was that they kept trying to fly into the sun.
Mm-hmm. No, that's moths. Different thing.
Moths can be butterflies if they believe in themselves hard enough. I think that was a children's book I read as a child.
Wow. That's that is very bad science.
Yeah, like in all children's books.
Oh, fair enough.
Except the Magic School Bus, which teaches us that a school bus can go to space.
Sure.
And inside of a boy.
Wow, I didn't know about that. But all right. The moment when the butterflies sort of form a wings on the guy, like, I cannot imagine you, in your mind, did not have a moment where you were thinking, the mighty monarch!
Of course I did.
Of course. How could you not?
I am but human, and have watched a lot of Venture Brothers.
Yeah, same. I'm assuming that's what your asshole dimension reference was as well.
Of course. We have to defeat Michael before she gives us any dilithium!
Oh, no, she's delivering one of those speeches. Get out!
Maybe we should take the dilithium. Shut up!
I do like them saying, it's fine, just take the dilithium. We don't want anything. No, we won't want it. You're gonna take it.
You will take the dilithium. We don't want your stupid dilithium. We're gonna kick it off one of our many cliffs.
Mm-hmm. Which we can simply fly over, but you will die.
Yeah. Future man, you didn't count on cliffs, did you?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Also, speaking of them running away, something that was just very pleasing comedic timing. They're standing on top of Book's ship, and then because they have those instant transporters, they're immediately inside it. Mm-hmm. It's like, ha-ha, here we are. Now you can't get us. We're in our house.
Zap.
It was very funny, the timing.
And here's my cat that I was talking about.
Oh, that's what pissed them off. They're like, you brought a carnivore here? And of course, you know, she's a queen. Because she is.
And then they're like, you have a queen captured?
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching this diplomacy scene, and I'm just like, neither of you are very good at diplomacy. Maybe you should have sent, you know, like, a diplomat. Yes.
Well, interestingly, this kind of ties to my bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when they go to the space station with the disaster later on, the people they send are Tilly and Adira, who are two of the most knowledgeable, like, science engineering types. Like, that's a good choice. But you need to send someone to run interference with the people.
Mm-hmm.
These two people are both balls of anxiety. You need someone to handle the you know, talking to people part of it.
Mm-hmm. You know who's a good person to send for that? Jet Reno.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not food, it's candy.
Uh-huh. Jet takes charge of a situation. Like, they're like, you can't not listen to that woman.
I suppose that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for a moment it looked like maybe they're showing us that Tilly's growing up. Maybe they're showing us, I thought this was a bad choice because I've been watching for three seasons, but maybe they're showing us, no, but look, Tilly's got it now. But then they completely undermined it by having someone else save the day, which is another thing I'll get into in a minute.
Yeah.
But like, actually, I might as well now.
Go for it.
So the president, as Baggy said in her summary, comes with them. And this is my good thing. It's a very original series, having someone breathing down the captain's neck and questioning their orders the whole time. That's we always loved that, like with Kirk.
Yeah.
And she's very irritating in a real politician way. She's like, I learned three facts about your planet, which I'm going to say to you now, and that's going to make you want to vote for me. And Michael's like, so you just lied to them. And she goes, yeah, so what? It got him to stop pointing a gun at them.
Yeah, problem solved, Michael.
And, like, I don't like this president, and I wouldn't trust her as a leader, and I wouldn't want to talk to her as a person, but as a character, I really like her.
Yeah.
And I think they have managed, this is a hard needle to thread, the way they've set up Michael. Giving her someone to learn something from. Like, having a character basically say, you're good at science, and you're pretty good at running a starship, but you're not good at diplomacy, and I am. Maybe you can learn a trick or two from me. And, like, that's a good idea.
Mm. Well, and I like that. One of the things about Michael that, like, I noticed instantly now that she's captain is, like, she doesn't want to change anything now that she's in the future. Like, the ship's changed, but she's very, like, no, this is my crew. You can't. We're not splitting up. No one is going anywhere. It's mine, and it is staying the way I want it to.
Yeah, what the president says at the end is, well, we're testing new spore drives based on yours. And the first one we're trying is the Voyager. And I was looking for captains, and you are not in the running. And she's like, fine, I didn't want it anyway. Like Maggie said in her summer, I didn't want it anyway.
She literally says, like, well, you can't get me off. This is my home. No one is getting me off of Discovery. Which I'm like, well, no, you work for an organization who...
Yeah, that's how the military works. You go where they send you, man. Yeah. Like... That it was like that when you left, and it's like that now.
Michael, I don't know if you understand the military that you work for and have worked for a very long time.
And this aspect of it has not changed in, you know, like a millennium.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, but it's, like, the show seems to be saying, no, this is a problem with her, and it's someone needs to take them under her wing and maybe teach her a little bit, and that's good.
I like that a lot. I also really like the episode starts with Michael going, you can't come on Discovery. It's too dangerous for the president to go on Discovery. You're a liability. And then cut to Michael throwing herself into a spaceship to recklessly fly around the universe while the president's just like, what was that you were saying earlier about recklessness? No, don't worry about it. I'm not writing anything down.
That is excellent. But what I also liked, and it wasn't germane to your point, so you left this part out. Mm. When Michael's saying it's too dangerous, she's shooting very, like, knowing looks over at the Admiral.
Oh, yeah.
Like, please back me up on this. And he's looking everywhere but making eye contact with her. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, no, look, oh, there's a little dust. It's weird. We don't have dust in the future, but there's a little dust over here. I better...
How odd. I love that he's just like, Michael, it's the president. I don't get to boss the president around just because you don't like her.
But also, I might have been reading into this, but what she says is, nice that you're with your family again, which means it's good that I have made it possible for you to lead a normal life again.
Right?
Thanks for helping. Like, it was not quite a threat, but it felt thanks for not having my back, even though I saved your family.
Just a little reminder of what I've done for you. What have you done for me lately? Well, I made you captain. Mm. Yeah, but what have you done for me today?
That was 5 months ago, according to the open narration. What now?
Yeah. Just like Michael just should have been like, previously on Our Lives.
Mm-hmm. She really walks the fine line for me of the thing we complained about in early Next Gen, the smug future man thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because this whole going to planets that haven't seen the Federation in a long time and telling them how great they are again... Mm-hmm. Is really that, we evolved beyond the need for blah, blah, blah. But she got quite on that side of like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I still buy it, but it's real close to being irritating.
I mean, I mentioned in my summary, but like, I'm not wrong. It's very, ding dong, ding dong. Have you heard the good news about the Federation? Ding dong.
Yes. But also,
we're just
going like,
to leave this complimentary dilithium with you and, you know, you peruse that at your leisure.
It's a bit like that, but it's also like, imagine if you live in a neighborhood and the power went out and you're just knocking on doors and saying, hey, they turned the power back on. Like, okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the idea of right now they're still the only one with spore drives. Like we said, they are making more, but at the moment, they are hand delivering a bit of dilithium like to different places so they can start warping around again. And I like that idea of like...
Yeah.
Eventually enough people will have it that they can take the lithium to the others and so on and so on. But for now, it's just one ship giving gasoline to all the broken down cars. It's funny.
I was wondering about this. Now that they have the lithium again, like, can they replicate it? Like, or is it
they've never been able to replicate it.
Yeah. So it's just what's coming from this planet, which on the one hand, good that you're like, that means that it's important that you're handing this out, but also like,
it's a very finite resource.
Yeah, no, your finite resource might run out soon, guys, and maybe let's crank out those spore drives a little faster. How's about?
Yeah, I don't know what the radius of the burn was. Like,
yeah,
presumably they can mine it like start mining it again, but maybe, I don't know. Like, I don't know how far that carried.
I guess that's true. If you can, like, you know, get your ships going again, you can go to places that might have dilithium and get it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that was a driving force in a lot of, well, at least a couple of original series episodes. Mm. It's like, there's a bunch of places that mine dilithium, and the Klingons were often trying to get them first and stuff like that. So, like, there are, it's not just on one planet. Mm-hmm. But since that was the center of the burn, it might only be on one planet because that radius might have destroyed everything else. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's interesting, and I don't think it's stuff that the show is going to sort of get into.
No, because I think eventually they also talked about we're coming up with like a quantum slipstream drive or something like that. Like I think they're exploring non-dilithium options. I think what they're doing is using this to get people on their feet. But then hopefully when you link all the Federation worlds back together and the scientists can talk to each other again, they can work on something better. That's kind of the impression I got. This is a temporary fix.
Yeah. Here's a new Voyager. It's a Tesla. Oh,
God.
Shit.
Ugh. Yeah, this was Lorca's legacy. He really loved that guy.
The future he dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea that because he's from the evil planet, he likes evil. He likes regular Elon Musk.
I mean, that was not the intention, but it is a wonderful retcon now.
That is definitely what I'm deciding.
They gave us a couple of clues, like a little bit of telegraphing that he was the evil one, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Saru, what he's up to right now. Because really, he should be the captain. We both agree on that, right?
Yeah, we've been saying that since he became captain. Like,
yeah. But they've came up with a decent reason for him to be out of play for the moment, which is he's back on Kaminar, and he's talking to his people again. And his people are now integrated with the evil overlords from before who were harvesting them. And now they're just friends.
Yep.
Hey, buddies. He's at, like, the city council or whatever, and they're, all the Kelpians look like him, and then there's, like, yes, we should be friends with the Federation. Oh, these are good guys. Sure, obviously.
I don't understand. I just sound like this. I'm just him.
I'm just a sinister, shadowy figure over here. But
I evolved from a planet of sinister, shadowy figures. This is just what we look like.
And this is Dr. Claw and his cat. She's a queen. Saru is giving a speech to the people, and he's talking about, like we're stuck on an island. Like, there's a whole wide galaxy out there that we should be connected to. And here, on this planet, we live, we laugh. I'm like, Jesus, are you going to say love now?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Live, laugh, look out for death.
Mm-hmm. Laugh, scream all the dilithium away.
I am really glad that we're leaving Sukal behind, hopefully.
I believe we are, yes.
But I did like the bit with them together where Sukal's like, no, you can go. I'm doing better now. Like, you don't want... you can do this and also be out there in space, which is what you want to be doing with your time.
Yes. It's a very Star Trek situation we've seen characters in over and over again. It's like, you can't come back to a normal life. You want to be out there, because out there is cool.
Yeah.
And like, Saru is the most Star Trek character, I think, that has ever existed.
You are not wrong about that at all.
Like, we've said this before. He's got that perfect sense of wonder. He's got that, like, he's a good leader. He's got flaws, but he's still relatable. And yeah. And I like how well-suited he is to... I don't know if you call it parenting or mentoring or whatever his relationship is with this kid. It's just, he's really good at it.
Yeah, he is. And
like, he's kind and like wise. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's going to be okay, buddy.
Yeah, and I think that's why I didn't dislike those scenes either, is I still don't like the character Sukal, but like, seeing Saru just being kind to someone and taking, you know, like, taking care of him. It was like, aw, yeah. I would like Saru to be my dad.
Yeah.
He'd be okay. He'd look out for you.
Yeah. Just a tall, thin dad to hang out with.
Mm-hmm. Lanky dad. One of them lanky dads.
Just a real lanky dad.
Yep.
I like, we get a shot of a bunch of Kelpians in this episode, and I'm watching, I'm just like, so Kelpians clearly evolved to be less difficult to make into makeup since in the last 930 years.
Well, I think a lot of Star Trek series deal with that, where it's like, we will put Michael Dorn's makeup on every day and we'll streamline it. But if we write an episode with 30 Klingons, fuck, now what?
Here, put a hat on.
Uh-huh. No one's ever going to see this in high definition. We just need the guys in the foreground to look good. Mm-hmm. Whoops.
They're in the foreground. They look really good in the foreground.
Uh-huh.
That was not my best strong set.
Yeah, it's okay. It's early.
Don't eat my gah. It's mine, and it's good.
I do like that we it's the first episode of a new season, and we're kind of checking in with characters who have business off world, like, or off ship rather.
Yeah.
So it's like we follow Book to his little thing, and we follow Saru to his thing, and I don't want to spend the whole season doing that, but for the first episode, it's not bad to say, oh, yeah, not everyone's on the ship right now because they have other things going on. Mm. So that's all right.
And this is where we are now. Everyone's sort of getting used to being in the future, and some people are doing their own things. But don't worry, everyone will be back in an episode or two.
Yeah, probably.
All your friends are coming home.
Yep. Let's talk about your bad thing.
Yeah, how about my bad thing? So there's a scene in this episode. I don't remember if it's the USS or if it's like a station or whatever.
I think it's a station.
Okay. They present the Archer space station, which is blasting the theme from Archer. And
the theme from Archer is do-do-do-do-do. Like, yeah, exactly. That's a good theme.
That was
by J.G. Thirlwell, who did the music for Venture Brothers. It's good. Yep. What you're talking about is the theme from Enterprise, which is the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone.
Yeah. Lana, they gave me a space station.
Mm-hmm. To Paul.
Mm-hmm. Neutral zone.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, 800 and however years into the future, everyone can't stop jacking off about how great Jonathan fucking Archer the war criminal is.
Like, I hated it, but I understood it in when we started out in Discovery, because we're before the original series. The only references you can make are Enterprise. That's the only thing canonically that's happened before this. So I hate it, but I get it. Mm-hmm. But now you can say it's Picard Station. You can say it's Sisko Station. Like, there's so many guys to name it after. Janeway Station.
You know how cool it would be for Michael to get here and it's the Spock station, her brother?
Oh, yes. Actually, Tilo said that, yes.
Yeah. She missed all of the stuff that made him the Star Trek guy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we did a whole episode where she showed up on a planet and found out about the stuff he did. But
That is true. But this could be just like a little thing. And then you cut to her looking proud or whatever.
Mm-mm. I got something better.
Okay.
Pike Station.
That's pretty fucking good. Yeah.
Because that's a guy she's met, and a guy that means something to the rest of the crew, too, because they served under him for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be really cool.
Nice tie-in to Strange New Worlds, which I believe had started by this point. But
yes, it had. Whatever. Yeah, I just, like, it always feels like they go back to Archer, and I just hate him so much.
Well, again, I understood it in early Disco, but it doesn't make sense now. They shouldn't be... Our thing on Endeavor was, we realized he's Columbus.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 1,000 years in the future, they should just not stop talking about that guy.
I had that moment for a second where I'm like, I thought they stopped, like they figured out that, no, Maggie,
that was us.
That was us. That was a thing we wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing we're very passionate about, but it's a thing we wrote.
Yep. I have a note here. It's the 30-whatever century and panels are still exploding on the bridge, which I know really bothers a certain kind of nerd.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I like it when stuff's on fire in the background.
That is a Star Trek thing.
Mm-hmm.
It might not make sense in terms of science and engineering, but it is something we expect from Star Trek. When shit's going down, the bridge explodes. That's just how it goes, man.
It's good shorthand. And you know what? Yeah. It's good dramatic for when some guy goes flying out of his chair. That shit rules.
I agree with you, but it's one of those
Star
things...
Star Trek, baby.
It's one of those go-to things that people say, like, I think circuit breakers that we have now would make that not possible. Something along those lines. Like,
yeah, well, the damage to the ship is so bad that the circuit breakers broke. How about that?
That's not how it works, but that's all right.
They're all broken. They broke.
Ah, well, they are breakers.
Yeah.
There's a very good moment where they hear, Disco hears that the away team is in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And Stamets goes, is Adira okay? And Tilly and whoever?
Yep.
Very good. Like, he really only had like one line in this episode, but he fucking nailed it.
Stamets flying into dad mode has made me so happy.
Yeah, I love it.
I mentioned this last week. I really, really wish, and I don't think they're doing it, because if they were, they would have brought it up, hopefully, in the first episode. I was really hoping that he would, like, still be pissed off at Michael for leaving his family to die. But, like, yeah, whatever. I guess not.
But this is how Mike rolls, and she says this to the president. Like, but it worked out, so who cares?
Yeah, it worked out, so it's good. Like,
ends justify the means.
Yeah, but it might not work out next time. No, it probably will. Don't worry.
It always does.
Yeah, it's always worked out for me so far.
Yeah, and the thing with people when things don't work out is it probably did always work out prior to that.
Yeah.
But then there's a time when it doesn't.
Yeah, sweetie, it's only gotta not work out once.
Yep, exactly. It's like there was a quote. Oh, what was it? It was the IRA talking about Margaret Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, she has to successfully avoid us every time. We only have to successfully get her once.
Amazing.
Something along those lines. Yeah. I'm probably mangling that, but that was the idea of it.
I was watching this episode, and it reminded me a lot of... do you remember the episode of TNG where Troy is trying out to be a commander, like an official, like, bridge officer?
Yes.
So there's
she has to kill Geordi.
Yeah, there's a bit in that episode where she has to send Geordi to his death.
Yep.
Like, to prove that, you know, you are willing to make the hard decisions. And,
yes,
like,
and the computer has specifically chosen someone we know is your friend to make this extra difficult for you. Right.
Yeah, and the thing I kept thinking about in this episode is that Michael would never send Geordi to die.
No, of course not.
Like, she is just incapable of it. And, like, you can't, man. Like, you're in charge of the whole ship now. Like,
yep. But, again, sometimes this show just ignores that, and right now they seem to be very much calling it out and saying, these are lessons Michael needs to learn, and we are aware of that, and that makes it much better to me.
Yeah, I really hope that's the direction this is going, is that, no,
it
like,
is.
You can't save everybody. Okay, good.
It is. Like, I don't know, I don't remember exactly how it pays off, but I know her relationship with the president is an ongoing thing, and I know, like, her trying to become a better captain and you know, learn those, like, and that's not a bad arc for her.
I think that's really interesting.
And like I said last week, like, what they have decided was her being captain makes no sense, but shut up, we're gonna hit the ground running and just move with it. And they have done that.
Yeah,
we haven't spent a lot of time talking about if it was the right decision. We're just like, no, she's captain, let's just move on with the show.
Yeah, this is the new status quo, let's status quo.
Yeah. Because it was a dumb decision, but I'm willing to live in it if they do a good job, and they're doing an okay job. So,
You know. I mean, the thing I like about this episode is that it's basically based around, like, a real Star Trek problem-solving problem. You got to save the space station. I like that, you know?
Yeah. I thought it dragged during the... Like, I thought this episode could have been about 10 minutes shorter. Some of that stuff went on for too long.
But, like, as the bones to build an episode around... Bones,
yes, you're right.
Like...
Yeah, no,
it's
you're
a good
not
idea.
Wrong.
Yeah,
I agree. I also think, having seen ahead, Book's Planet blowing up is setting up the season-long thing, and for the first time in four seasons, I don't feel like that first beat of, ooh, here's the big mystery this season, didn't feel like, ugh, this feels exactly like every serialized streaming show I've ever seen. Like, no, it was a good... scary beat to end on the, you know, end the episode on. We'll find out next week what happened, but it wasn't like, I can't solve this mystery, can you? Like, they didn't do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I also, I like the way this episode is set up, like, it feels like Book's brother and his nephew are gonna be like a part, like a bigger part of the season.
Yes.
And so, like, when they're all dead at the end, like, the reveal works pretty well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, so you're saying they're dead, Dave?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all dead, Dave. Everyone's dead. Even Rimmer.
I will say, hopefully I'm remembering this wrong, but the direction Book takes this season because of all this, I am not a huge fan of. All
right.
But we'll see.
Don't tell me, but I'm like, oh God, does he get all gritty?
I think not like the beloved Philadelphia mascot. No,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't get like gritty at all.
I mean, honestly, that would be fine.
Yes, I'd be a-okay if Book just showed up in a gritty costume.
In a gritty costume, or the president with his belly.
It's the future. Maybe he could just be surgically altered to look like gritty. It wouldn't be a costume.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in the future. If you want to be a mascot, you can just be a mascot.
Yeah. The furries fucking love it.
Oh, yeah.
No more fursuits. You could just be that.
I mean, what do you think the Cations are? Like, it's not a planet. It is.
Oh, no.
It's a colony planet.
Yeah, exactly. Those were humans.
Yeah.
Living their best life now. Living their best furry lives now.
Yep, and good for them.
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. There is zero mocking in my tone right now. I mean that.
Federation space is just chock damn full of nasty freaks, and I think that's beautiful.
Go with the red dwarf thing of there aren't actually any aliens. They're all just weird descendants of humans.
Yep, I love that.
Yeah, very good. What else? Anything?
What else? Let me have a look at my notes here. This is a lot of me going, that's cool, that's cool, this is cool. Yeah.
There's a lot of good world building. Like, yeah. The story was okay, but the world building was very, very good.
Yeah. No, it's like, I am hopeful for this new season of Star Trek, and that makes me happy.
Yep. There's two threads I specifically remember being set up here that I'm not a fan of, and that's Book and mm-hmm. Ghost Boyfriend wanting a body. But everything else, there's like seven threads that I'm a fan of. So, like, there's a lot of good stuff and a couple I don't like. So
I mean, that's the thing. Like, if there's a lot of good stuff, it's easier to ignore the stupid stuff that you don't like, you know?
Yeah. And plus, you know how it works. Like, the main plot sort of starts overshadowing the smaller ones after a while.
Exactly, yeah.
And, like, the last few episodes are just going to be that cool stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Of course, I'm remembering wrong. Maybe it's terrible. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it is.
Well, Al, we'll find out together.
We sure will.
As we always do.
Because that's the gig.
Yep.
Whether on vacation or what.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's as good a place as any to stop, unless you got anything else.
No, I think that's it.
All right. The website, as ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail.com. I told you about the Patreon already, but I'm going to tell you again. Patreon.com/Algar. We have reviewed about a season and a half of Lower Decks, and new ones go up on the 15th. So you're hearing those literally years before the rest of the audience does. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yep.
And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.